The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and recriminalize our laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... We love the earth. Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator. Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon.
Had the wrong button turned on. It's so tough here without Ganja John. But good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, October 25th, 2010. It's 8 days away from the election, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live and direct from beautiful Potland, Oregon, and Rolla J Studios, and also from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, with my good friend and sister, Cannabis Carrie.
That was a great way to start the show out on a Monday. You sounded hilarious.
I had the demon voice on. I don't know what happened there. Sorry about that, everybody. But
Seriously, you probably always speak in the demon voice, and you've got to switch to have this like regular voice, right?
That's right, right. I normally am a demon from the third level of hell, and I have a special voice processor that makes me sound human. It's going to be a fun day today. We got all sorts of great stuff coming up on today's show. We'll be talking with Paul Armentano, the Deputy Director of Normal, who is also on the steering committee for Proposition 19. He'll be telling us about the chances, the latest polls on Prop 19, and some of the crazy things opponents have been saying. And speaking of crazy things opponents have been saying, I've got a radical rant today at the end of the show. Shame on National Public Radio for spreading the dragonflies. That's right. Dragonfly De La Luz was on NPR yesterday, or today, this morning, actually. I got a lot to say about that. Our Daily Toker Tune comes at 20 after the hour. It's Roots Monday. We're going to hear some great music from Yellow Express. But first, before all of that, we always get our latest hemp headlines from Cannabis Carrie. What's coming up in the news today?
Well, today we're going to talk about a governor candidate who thinks medical marijuana is not a good idea for his state, a councilman who got arrested just a few days before his name will be on the ballot, and then we are going to revisit the case of Chris Barkowitz, who took a plea last week, and we're going to talk about that as well.
All right. All that coming up here right after our first break. Also want to let folks know we are still in the running for a new Rockin' Friday music editor. If you'd like to volunteer to bring us our rock and roll music every Friday, just send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll tell you how you could get involved with Normal Show Live. This is a community production. We've got Cannabis Carrie, Ganja John, who's on medical leave right at the moment, and a number of volunteers who provide us the stories and the music that you hear on Normal Show Live. Check us out at our blog at stash.normal.org. You can also follow me on Twitter at Radical Russ. Cannabis Carrie is Cannabis K-A-R-R-I on Twitter. Ganja John, Ganja J-O-N on Twitter. Also Facebook and all that other great stuff. We're right back with the news. Stick around.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Georgia, Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind.
That's right, folks. We've got 8 days until the election. Get involved. You can do phone banking for Prop 19, for Measure 74, for Prop 203, and for Initiated Measure 13. Four states voting on marijuana reforms. Email me, stash@normal.org, for more info.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carrie.
Andrew Cuomo, the Democrat candidate for the governor of New York, told reporters on Sunday that he does not want to see New York follow California's example and legalize marijuana for medical purposes. Cuomo has admitted using marijuana in his youth and said that the dangers of medical marijuana outweigh the benefits. Cuomo has a strong lead over his Republican opponent, Carl Paladino, who has said recently that he wanted the issue put to a referendum. When told that medical marijuana's legalization could generate revenues for the state, candidate Cuomo said, quote, "A lot of things could raise revenues. Legalizing prostitution could raise revenues. I'm against that, too." Currently in New York, there are twin bills, 9016 and SB 4041B, that would legalize medical marijuana in the state of New York. The bills have passed through several committees with bipartisan support, and the current bills have made it farther than any past medical marijuana bills in the Senate, and it is now languishing in the Budget Committee. Last year was the first that a medical marijuana bill had passed out of a Senate committee in the Empire State. Support for medical marijuana legislation in the budget seems to be the wavering point, and no actions or votes were taken on either bills since summer. A February 2010 Quinnipiac poll, found that 71% of New Yorkers believe it's a good idea to allow adults to legally use marijuana for medicinal purposes if their doctors prescribe it. Candidate Cuomo has said he does not think that the bill will ever pass in his state.
Candidate Cuomo is against the medical marijuana, but what about the guy from the Rent is Too Damn High party? What does he think? I bet he thinks the prices of weed are too damn high, too. But seriously, Andrew Cuomo, Democrats, you are missing out on the boat on this one. Your stance here is straight out of 1998, not 2010. We are seeing clear majorities all across America, and particularly in the state of New York, that support the medical use of marijuana. You are behind the people on this one, and the people won't be behind you if you continue to oppose it. As far as the risks outweighing the benefits, the dangers outweigh the benefits. What are these dangers that they keep saying? Oh, it'll be too dangerous. Why? What's the danger? That people will overdose? No, can't overdose from marijuana. That people who might want to use marijuana for non-medical purposes could get it? Well, they're getting it now already. What is the danger? And I can tell you all the benefits. The benefits are people with HIV/AIDS, with cancer, with severe pain, severe nausea, spasticity disorders, seizure disorders, cachexia, Alzheimer's agitation, all sorts of disorders could get some relief, some medication that won't be all laden with side effects that kill their liver and stop up their guts and leave them all constipated. That's the benefits you're talking about. And furthermore, I am personally offended by your characterization of, oh, well, we could legalize prostitution and that would raise some money. Look, medical marijuana is not prostitution. Now, I personally think that prostitution should be legal as well. If two people want to get together and do what they want to do, I'm cool with it. But that's aside from the point. That's a red herring. You're trying to confuse the issue. We are talking about the medical use of marijuana, something that's been recognized as medicine by the American Medical Association, something that's been recognized as medicine by the American College of Physicians, something that's been recognized as medicine for 5,000 years. Candidate Cuomo, it's time you pay a little bit more attention to politics, serving the people, and not making your ill-informed medical opinions the basis for your policy.
A city council candidate in southeastern Minnesota has been jailed after authorities say they discovered marijuana growing at his house and business. Stephen Conlin is one of four candidates running for two seats on the St. Charles City Council. Friday night, police raids on his home and business turned up high-grade marijuana, $1,100 in cash, and half a dozen guns. The 52-year-old was taken into custody at his home. Winona County Sheriff David Brand said officers executed search warrants, discovered seven marijuana plants in a grow room in Conlin's home, 61 plants drying in a utility shed, and 17 and a half pounds of processed marijuana. Additional marijuana plants were seized from his business place, which is a barber shop on Whitewater Avenue in St. Charles. The case has been referred to Winona County Attorney. Conlin remains in jail, and his name will appear on the November 2nd ballot.
Yeah, I just wonder how this anonymous tip managed to come into the police headquarters. Sounds to me like one of his opponents here may have dropped a dime on him. What a shame this is, that we take people, perfectly good citizens who want to help, that want to get involved in politics. I mean, there's so many people that complain about this, you know, the state of their city or, you know, how things are going as far as the schools go or the taxes or whatever, you know, whatever political thing they want to bitch about. But so few people get involved. Here's someone who wants to get involved on city council, who wants to make a difference, but because he's into marijuana gardening, we somehow think that he's some sort of criminal and that we can't have his opinion. He can't be involved in the city council. This is the unspoken part about marijuana legalization that really gets under my collar. And that is all the good people who have to live in fear of their government, live in fear of law enforcement on a day-to-day basis. People who disconnect from civil engagement because of the paranoia of possibly being arrested, ticketed, having your possessions seized, having your kids taken away from you from Child Protective Services, having your liberty taken away from you and being locked up in a cage, all for the crime of growing a plant and supplying it to people who want it. This is so absurd. We've got to stop this. This is one of the ways that the powers that be hold us under their thumbs, is by continually having this power to harass us, to throw us in jail, to take away our assets and our abilities to fight back, all because we pick something that's less popular than alcohol or tobacco. Our choice of recreation is not harming anyone. It's certainly not harming ourselves, and it's certainly causing less harms than the legal drugs of alcohol, tobacco, and all the prescription medications we see advertised four or five times every hour on the television. Leave the growers alone. Let this man grow his weed, and let's legalize marijuana in 8 days.
The man who let the media in to film his large indoor medical marijuana garden has pled guilty to drug charges stemming from a raid on his house after the interview was published. Christopher Barkowitz walked out of a federal courtroom in handcuffs last Thursday in what is believed to be the first federal conviction of a medical marijuana grower in Colorado. He has agreed to a 5-year prison sentence. The 37-year-old man pled guilty to 3 counts related to the growing operation and under an agreement with prosecutors. The plea capped a trip through the federal justice system for Barkowitz that began in February on the day a news program was to air an interview it conducted with him in which he had talked about his large marijuana growing operation. DEA agents saw the story about the interview posted on Channel 9 News website and quickly raided his home, arresting Barkowitz and seizing hundreds of plants. Barkowitz has maintained that his plants were legal under state law because he was a caregiver. Federal officials have said Barkowitz had more plants than the state allowed. crowd and noted that his house was less than 1,000 feet from a school. Judge Brimmer ruled Berkowitz would not be able to raise a medical defense at his trial because he had two prior marijuana convictions at the state level. He faced a minimum of 10 years and a maximum of life in prison if convicted of the charges facing him. But during the plea hearing on Thursday, Berkowitz three times spoke the word guilty when asked how he pleaded to the charges facing him. Berkowitz did not comment when entering the federal courthouse before the hearing, but said he would make a statement once the hearing was over. However, Judge Philip Brimmer, at the prosecution's urging, ordered Berkowitz to be detained at the end of the hearing. Berkowitz tried to remain free on bond until a formal sentencing, but after Judge Brimmer rejected the request, he removed his tie and was handcuffed and led from the courtroom. If the judge does not accept the sentence from the prosecutors, Berkowitz can change his plea again and go to trial. The judge will finalize the 5-year plea deal on January 28th if he accepts it. Had he gone to trial, he could have faced a life term because of the previous drug conviction. So U.S. District Judge Philip A. Brimmer last month decided that the Holder memo, famous for touting the Obama administration would defer to state laws governing medical marijuana, was not a legal clearance to violate federal drug laws. Now, this is just a side note, but a separate pot grower, Rodney Joby, was sentenced to 3 years of probation and time served on Wednesday by the very same judge. Joby pleaded guilty in June to cultivation charges for growing 374 marijuana plants inside a commercial building in Colorado Springs. Joby never talked to reporters about his pot-growing business like Berkowitz, who invited the KUSA TV crew into his home last February and bragged that he would make $400,000 a year from selling marijuana. Berkowitz's lawyer, Joseph St. Vercelli, argued Thursday that Berkowitz is being treated harshly because he has publicly criticized federal drug policy.
If I may quote the late Senator Robert Byrd, barbaric. This is barbaric that we want to put a man behind bars for 5 years of his life for merely telling the truth about medical marijuana and growing medical marijuana. And Kerry nails it. This is all about the politics of medical marijuana. We see the same thing in the Mark Emery case. It's not that he was selling seeds. There's lots of people selling seeds. It's that he's out there telling the truth. He's out there spreading the truth about cannabis like we do every day on this show. This is this is just our elected officials, our court system, our judicial system, our law enforcement system trying to put the clamps down because they know they've lost the argument. They know that when we're talking about it, we're winning. I've also got a quick news story I'd like to update folks on. We did a story a while back on the racial disparity in arrests in California. The California NAACP, under the excellent leadership of Alice Huffman, has pointed this out. We've gotten some new statistics from this study. The last study showed that in the 25 largest counties in California, blacks are disproportionately arrested anywhere from 2 to 7 times more than their white counterparts. The latest part of the report from the Queens College University of New York and Shenandoah University in Virginia found amongst California cities, the city of Los Angeles, with 10% of California's population, arrested blacks for marijuana possession at 7 times the rate of whites. San Diego, second largest city, 6 times the rate of whites. In Pasadena, where blacks are only 11% of the population, they make up 49% of the people arrested for marijuana possession, 12.5 times the rate of whites. In Sacramento, the state's capital, where there's 14% black population, more than 51%, more than half, the majority of people arrested in Sacramento are black. In San Jose, the third largest city in California, only 2.9% African American population, and yet they're arrested at rates more than 5 times the rates of whites. 619 blacks per 100,000 compared to 121 whites per 100,000. The city of Torrance, population 140,000, the highest racial disparity. Blacks are only 2% of the people in the city of Torrance, but they are 24% of the people arrested for marijuana possession. Torrance arrested blacks at over 13 times the rate for whites. These racially biased marijuana arrests were a system-wide phenomenon occurring in every county and nearly every police department in California, the report states. The substantial disparities in marijuana possession arrest rates of whites and blacks cannot be explained by their patterns of marijuana use. U.S. government studies consider consistently find that young blacks use marijuana at lower rates than young whites. From 1990 through 2009, police departments in California made 850,000 criminal prosecutions for possessing small amounts of marijuana and 500,000 marijuana possession prosecutions in the last 10 years. Full text of this study is available through the Drug Policy Alliance. Check out our links at normal.org to find more on this study. It's time we end this new Jim Crow. And before we do that, we're going to take ourselves a quick little break. 4:20 out there on the Eastern Time Zone. I hope you guys are enjoying yourselves. We'll follow up in the next 3 hours with you. Be back in a second.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you Tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everyone. 22 after the hour, and we go back to Grastoria. Cannabis Carrie's got our Roots Monday tune for us.
I do have your Roots Monday tune. Today is a really nice folky tune called We Want Freedom for the People. It is a beautiful tune, and I thought it would be very appropriate as we go into this last week before Prop 19. I don't really know too much about the group that recorded it. I do know they're from Sweden. They call themselves Yellow Express, and it's sort of a loosely formed group of musicians, but it seems like at the helm is Anders Ericsson, who is a practicing Falun Gong, Falun Gong. How do you say that?
Yeah, the Russ? Chinese, the Chinese Christians, right? Falun Gong.
Right, that have been prosecuted by the Chinese Communist Party. So much of his music is sort of activist, an activist voice for human rights in China. But this song just it lends itself really well. So I thought it would be great to start the week off with "We Want Freedom for the People," which we definitely do.
All right, this is Yellow Express with "We Want Freedom for the People."
The evil CCP hypnotized the population, made people think that they are free. But let's all speak out, stop suppression now. Mind control and torture is something that the world just can't allow. Ooh, we want freedom for the people. Let's all stand up for human rights. We make that icy northerly wind turn into a summer breeze somehow. The world must speak out when there's something wrong. What scares dictators is when people know what's going on. Soon a new dawn is rising. The red dragon will fall. A shining bright horizon. And finally the people are standing tall. Ooh, we want freedom for the people. Let's all stand up for human rights. We make that icy northerly wind turn into a summer breeze somehow.
Of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time to check Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Tonight, Monday, October 25th, Madison Normal in Madison, Wisconsin is having their meeting at the Wilmar Center from 5 to 7 p.m. Tomorrow, Tuesday, October 26th, there's a weekly medicating event at the Phoenix Cafe in Hazel Park, Michigan. And the Kalamazoo Area Compassion Club in Kalamazoo, Michigan will be meeting at Charlie's Place. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, Hemp TV is on the air on cable channel 27. Call 505-880-0666 for tickets to the show. On Wednesday, October 27th, the Grand Traverse Compassion Connection meeting is meeting at the Grandview Parkway, Traverse City, Michigan. For more information, check out the links on normal.org/calendar. Thursday, October 28th, there is a Canoween holiday party at Coyote's Bar. Mile High Normal has teamed up with MarijuanaRadio.com. The event is open to the public, but you must be over 21. 50% of all proceeds for tickets goes to Mile High Normal. Also coming up on this weekend, Saturday, October 30th, the Halloween party at the world-famous Cannabis Cafe. You can check that out by going to usacannabiscafe.org. And I'm very pleased to announce the first ever High Times Medical Marijuana Grow Clinic in Rhode Island, taking place this Saturday, October 30th. There are three New England states that allow medical patients with a physician's recommendation to cultivate and use cannabis, being Vermont, Maine, and Rhode Island. And no other publication in the world has taught more people about high-quality cannabis and how to cultivate it than High Times Magazine. You can go there and meet with High Times cultivation experts Danny Danko and Nico Escondido. Topics will include beginner indoor and hydro growing, getting the most out of your plants, choosing medicinal strains, cultivating and medicating legally. Plus, there will be a special presentation by Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal. That's this Saturday, October 30th, the High Times Medical Marijuana Grow Clinic. For more information, check out normal.org/calendar. And to find out more information on all of these events, including the email addresses, websites, phone numbers, and more, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
There's a crisis in California.
Actually, this is Dr. Talleyrand, Jean Talleyrand. I represent 200,000 patients throughout the state of California. Our company's name is Medican, and we are not dispensers of marijuana. We are medical marijuana evaluators.
Clinics like Medican that write permission slips to use marijuana could join California's unemployed on November 2nd. California's Prop 19 would mean you could grow, possess, share, and even buy cannabis to treat your ailments without medical permission slips. Do you really think you can manage your own herbal health care without a $150 doctor's note? If you vote yes on 19, it means no tickets, no permission slips, and no Medican. You wouldn't want that, would you?
Normal has been the place to go for the latest studies and news on marijuana science, policy, and activism. For over a decade, one man at Normal has written and reviewed more studies and news stories regarding marijuana than most anyone on the planet. First as senior policy analyst and now as deputy director, Normal's Paul Amentano has written for major newspapers, academic journals, and magazines on the subject of cannabis and is frequently requested as an expert witness in the courtroom. His knowledge and experience are an amazing asset to the cannabis community. Available to you now in a segment we call Behind the Headlines with Paul Amentano.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we are visiting with Paul Amentano, who's coming to us from the Bay Area of California live by telephone. Paul, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here, Russ.
It's good to have you here. You know, we got 8 days before probably the most monumental election in our lifetimes, and a lot of people, especially on our side, are getting a little bit nervous. They've seen some of the polls that have come out recently, the USC, LA Times, a few other sources that are saying Prop 19 is losing, and it's losing badly. What can you tell us about the latest polls on Prop 19?
Well, I will tell people this, that Prop 19 will not pass unless supporters go to the polls and they vote for it. That's the way ballot initiatives and democracy works in this country. So regardless of what the polls are saying in the days prior to Prop 19, supporters of this initiative need to show up because it's all about voter turnout. This is going to be a very close race. Regardless of whether a poll comes out the weekend before the election that says we're up 60-40, or regardless of a poll comes out the weekend before the election that says we're down 60-40, the bottom line is this. We know that Californians are almost evenly divided on this issue. And whichever side gets its base to the polls to turn out next Tuesday is going to emerge victorious. As you said, this is a historic vote. This is an unprecedented opportunity in California. Californians haven't had the option to vote on marijuana legalization since 1972, and it's unknown when they will get that opportunity again. So we need to take advantage of this opportunity, and all of us who are in California, who are registered to vote, and who want to see an end to this archaic, punitive policy need to vote yes on 19 on Tuesday.
You know, whenever we talk about statistics with regard to marijuana and people that admit to using marijuana, I always throw in the caveat that, you know, these are people that are being called by someone who is doing a survey asking them whether or not they break state and federal laws. So I always say, you know, adjust higher because people aren't likely to want to admit that on the phone. Is there an effect here where people just may not be admitting their support for Prop 19 because they fear the social stigma or the law breaking of it?
That's certainly what people are speculating. And to those listeners, who want to go to the normal homepage right now, that I have a blog post up explaining this phenomenon. And it's been coined, you know, some time ago, the reverse Bradley effect. This notion that individuals, when they're called on these surveys, on the phone, and they're talking to a live operator, rather than answering the questions honestly, they give answers to the operator that they assume the operator wants to hear. And we have a very stark illustration of this with the recent polls on Prop 19. We have a couple of live polls showing that Prop 19, or voters that are asked their opinions on Prop 19, that a majority of voters tell the live operator that they intend to vote no, or that they're undecided. Yet, when we see polls of similar sample sizes that are conducted on Prop 19 using automated operators, so-called robopolls, we actually see that support for Prop 19 is quite strong. Really, what the difference seems to come down to is the fact that when people face a live operator, they are more likely to say they are undecided on Prop 19 versus when they have an automated operator. When they're not speaking to someone live, those undecided votes all of a sudden turn into yes votes. And in fact, we have a poll that was just released that was conducted by EMC Research, looking at about 1,400 respondents. And what we see the results of that poll showing is that a majority of Californians still say that they intend to vote for Prop 19, and this was a poll that was conducted last week. And among those that were called using a robo-poll or a push-poll, we see even at this point in the game, still startling support for Prop 19. We see 56 to 41 individuals willing, on an automated poll, when called, they say they support Prop 19. So clearly it seems that there is still a social stigma associated with marijuana, and that social stigma skews the way people answer this question when they're talking to a live operator. And it particularly skews the way people answer this question in certain demographics. We see a greater disparity with live responses versus automated responses among the Latino community, among the African American community, and among voters under 30.
Mm. You know, we did a story on the racial disparity in arrests there in California. Great work done by the Drug Policy Alliance, Queens College, Dr. Harry Levine, and so on. How is Prop 19 doing amongst the people, the communities of color that are most negatively impacted by marijuana prohibition?
Well, once again, like I said, we have a disparity depending on whether an automated poll is being used or a live poll is being used. So, you know, in both these cases, we see results that are really all over the map. We've got some polls showing a majority of African Americans support Prop 19. We have other polls showing that only a minority of African Americans support Prop 19. We see that same contrast with Latino voters. I can say this, that the coalition in support of Prop 19 has done a tremendous job reaching out and targeting these particular communities. It is understood that we need the strong support of African Americans, and we need the strong support of Latinos to win this initiative, just like we need the strong support of non-cannabis consumers in California. We need all these groups if we're going to pass this. And the coalition building and the outreach that has been done by the California NAACP and the Latino Voters League and so many of these other social justice groups and civil rights groups that work within those communities in favor of Prop 19 has really been revolutionary. This is a base of support that is not just for this year, but is going to be built upon in the years to come.
You know, I've got listeners in the chat room that are bringing up the point about cell phones and saying that, you know, a lot of people don't have landlines anymore. Just young people use cell phones more often. Are pollsters now accommodating that demographic now, the people
they
that are
do.
Cell phone?
I've heard that criticism quite a bit, too. And as someone who is involved with the campaign and somebody who obviously follows closely, I do keep track of the methodology that pollsters use. And the people in the chat room are correct. There are many different demographics, particularly younger likely voters, that are less likely to be using landlines. But pollsters are also aware of that. And in order to really try and get an accurate view, keep their pulse on the public's viewpoint, they do, in fact, call landlines and call cell phones.
Okay, so that's not much of a concern at this point then. One thing that I've noticed in this debate here is that we have a lot of the rhetoric coming from the other side, from the law enforcement, from some of the opposition side, that say that, yes, they realize the drug war has failed, but Prop 19 is not the right way to go about legalization. Do you see this as an epic sea change here in the fact that they're kind of conceding that legalization's on its way?
I wouldn't say they're conceding legalization is on its way. To me, you know, that's the ultimate cop-out sort of argument. And you're right, a number of the newspapers in California have opined with some version of the notion that they believe the war on marijuana hasn't worked, but Prop 19 isn't the way to go. Of course, they don't offer any sort of alternative. They simply say vote no on Prop 19. That's not good enough. Prop 19 is a tangible alternative to the failed and inflexible policies, not just of the past, but of the present. And if we're ever going to change those policies, then we need to vote in favor of change. And that's what Prop 19 is. Californians have a history of engaging in just this sort of behavior. In 1932, Californians went to the polls and they voted for the end of another morally bankrupt federal prohibition policy, and that was alcohol prohibition. They did it before the federal government repealed alcohol prohibition because the California voters said, we are sick of this failed policy and we're going to take matters into our own hands. We're not going to wait for the federal government to act. We're going to act, and the federal government is going to follow our lead. In 1996, of course, California voters took to the polls again. They said the prohibition of medical marijuana is a bankrupt federal policy, and as Californians, we're not going to stand for it anymore. And they once again set a shining example for the rest of the country, and they led the way to the national discussion and the state-by-state repeal of medical marijuana prohibition. And here we are in 2010 again. The table is set, and Californians once again have the opportunity to pave a new path for marijuana policy. And that's what they're taking to the polls on November 2nd to do.
We're speaking with Paul Armentano, Normal's deputy director, who's also on the health steering committee for the Prop 19 campaign. And we've got a lot of listeners. We've got over 250 live listeners on the show right now. And by the time this show is downloaded through all of the various sources, probably tens of thousands of people will hear this segment. So for those people, and probably the majority of them, don't live in California and don't get a chance to vote on this, what can they do to help Prop 19 pass?
There's a couple things they can do, but I would certainly, if there is still time to donate to the campaign, and some people may say, why, what difference would it make if I give $10, $15, $20 to the Prop 19 campaign? I read somewhere that one of the founders of Facebook gave a six-figure contribution. Yes, that's true, but yes, Prop 19 still needs donations. We're in the last week here, folks, and the campaign is pulling out all the stops in terms of buying advertising time, in terms of getting their message out there, and that costs money in California. There's a reason why Meg Whitman has spent $140 million just on advertising, in her seeking to be governor of California. And it's because advertising is very, very expensive in the state of California. And the Prop 19 campaign, in comparison to every other proposition on the ballot in California, has actually the least money of any of these campaigns. It has a nominal budget compared to even the other propositions. So certainly people are encouraged to go to the yeson19.com site and pledge whatever they can in this last week. The other thing they can do that doesn't involve any money, but simply involves taking a little bit of time, is the campaign has been working diligently to call individual registered voters in California and talk to them about Prop 19 and inform them about Prop 19 and get their pledge to support yes for Prop 19. And the campaign in the last week alone made over 30,000 calls to registered California voters. And other groups, other partners of ours like Fire Dog Lake are also making thousands of calls. SFDP volunteers are making thousands of calls to individual Californians. And this is something anyone can do. You don't need to be in California to make calls on behalf of Prop 19. It's simply a matter of going to the website of the campaign, the yeson19.com homepage, and learning how you can get involved in making outreach to these voters. Fire Dog Lake also is doing outreach. Somebody, if they wish, can go to the Fire Dog Lake Just Say Yes homepage, and they can also learn how to get involved in this sort of outreach. And Normal's also posted links on our blog about this. So that is certainly a way someone can feel that they are a part in making in being a part of this historic campaign in California, whether or not you live in California.
That's excellent. The websites are yeson19.com and justsaynow.com, and you can find all that through normal.org, of course. Paul Armentano is Normal's deputy director, and I want to remind everyone, on Election Day, turn to Normal Show Live. We will be streaming all day live from Prop 19 headquarters in Oakland, California, and Paul, I hope you'll be able to join us there.
I hope so, too. It'll certainly be a historic night.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Paul Armentano from Normal. And when we come back, a radical rant on Dragonfly De La Luz on National Public Radio, the outrage, the shame. It's coming up next.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I approve this message.
California's Prop 19 will legalize marijuana, but Dragonfly De La Luz thinks it's a bad idea.
Prop 19 is bad.
Freeing 2.9 million California cannabis consumers from police attention is bad.
We can already carry one out.
If you're willing to pay a $100 fine and deal with the cops.
We are not in a crisis situation regarding cannabis in California.
Tell that to the tens of thousands of California cannabis consumers arrested or ticketed for marijuana.
A vote no so that you refuse to remain a criminal under legalization.
A criminal under legalization? George Orwell would be proud. Dragonfly De La Luz wants you to vote to remain a criminal, accept tickets for your personal marijuana use, and risk felony arrest for growing a single pot plant in your closet. Dragonfly De La Luz. Bad for cannabis consumers. Bad for California. Vote yes on Prop 19. Legal marijuana. No tickets. No grow felonies. No doctor's notes.
Paid for by the Committee to Eradicate Annoying Insects.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 49 after the hour, and boy, are my hackles raised. I mean, this morning I was really excited to see the new National Public Radio, the new segments they were doing. They're doing a week-long coverage on the debate over Prop 19. And the first segment that they were going to have on the air this morning was entitled Legalized Pot's Unlikely Supporters, Moms and Cops. So, you know, I was pretty thrilled about that to hear people that support Prop 19. I'm thinking, who's going to be the one there for the cops? Is it going to be Norm Stamper, the former police chief who says yes on 19? Or is it going to be former Baltimore narcotics officer Neil Franklin who says yes on 19? And when they bring up the moms, is it going to be Oaksterdam's Dale Skye Jones or maybe Normal New Jersey's Ann Davis as moms that speak out for yes on 19? So maybe you can understand a little of my outrage when the first voice I hear is not a supporter, but rather the Stoners Against Legalization's Dragonfly De La Luz spouting her outright lies about Prop 19. Maybe you can also understand my disappointment in NPR that a segment that was 7 minutes and 48 seconds long, entitled Legalized Pot's Unlikely Supporters, Moms and Cops, would lead with its first 4 minutes and 20 seconds, really, 4 minutes and 20 seconds, with opponents of Prop 19, leaving the moms and cops with just 45% of the time in the segment at the end of the segment, or if you take it with written words, just 39% of the written words in the story, Legalized Pot's Unlikely Supporters, Moms and Cops, only 39% of the words actually had the moms and cops that support legalized pot. Well, I guess NPR is just following in the Fox News example of providing both sides of the debate, you know, the truth and the lies. Let's just take a look at the way that NPR shamed itself this morning by quoting this professional partier.
This morning, we begin a series on the issues at stake, and we'll hear from people for and against Prop 19. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco has the story.
At a garden bistro in Sonoma County, Dragonfly De La Luz lights up her glass Hello Kitty pipe filled with Primo California weed.
My first toke of the day.
Dragonfly is a marijuana connoisseur for Skunk Magazine and TV's Cannabis Planet.
And I get stoned every day.
Well, that, you know, makes you a qualified person to talk about, you know, marijuana law reform and analyze the legal ins and outs of Proposition 19 and to understand how it would affect people. I suppose that's legitimate. Of course, by those standards, Jeff Spicoli could be a correspondent for NPR.
Through clouds of marijuana smoke, Dragonfly explains the initiative would create more restrictions than the state already has. Californians would be able to legally possess, process, share, or transport only 1 ounce of pot, and they could only grow it in a 25-square-foot area.
Oh, no, you'd only be able to grow in a 25-square-foot area. I wonder why that would be a problem.
These exotic strains that we know and love are going to quickly become obsolete because a 5x5 space is just not enough space to breed and experiment with new strains. It would be a real shame if we lost all of this variety.
No. A 5x5 space is not enough for you to be able to grow enough weed to sell. That's what you're getting at here, Dragonfly. Because let's just check out this logic here. When absolutely nobody can grow any personal marijuana legally, we have all this great genetic diversity. But if we make it legal for everyone to grow in a 5x5 space, a space where you can get about 4 to 6 plants, a space that'll produce anywhere from 12 to 30 ounces of dried bud per season, these exotic strains are going to go extinct because the people who are growing illegal larger plots for breeding are going to stop breaking the law when a 5x5 is legal. Because all those growers with Prop 215 recs who can and will still be able to grow larger plots won't do so anymore? Because the companies that form to grow commercial marijuana won't want to have as many brands as possible to entice their customers? Yeah, right.
We're kind of like anti-Walmart and anti-McDonald's, so for them to try and sneak in and turn cannabis into a corporation, that's pretty disgusting.
Well, first of all, existing corporations like Philip Morris and R.J. Reynolds, you know, the tobacco companies that have been long rumored to be waiting in the wings to take over the marijuana market, can't take over the marijuana market. Marijuana after Prop 19 will still be federally illegal, and the minute any multi-state corporation touches Schedule 1 marijuana, the feds will have them in court to seize their assets. It's not as if government doesn't like hauling big tobacco into court, you know. Second, when some companies do begin commercial marijuana sales and production, they're regulated and controlled by the localities, not the state. So if you don't like Walmart, like many local communities don't, you can keep them out. If you do like marijuana companies but want to keep a close eye on them, you can work with your local officials. Local control is exactly what big corporations don't like. And third, what's so disgusting about companies creating jobs for Californians, paying taxes to help our citizenry, and not shooting up people in the streets over the marketing of marijuana? You want to talk about disgusting, Dragonfly? Let's talk about the illegal market that you support that keeps pot prices at $15 to $20 per gram for medical marijuana patients, much less healthy people like me. Let's talk about the million teens nationwide selling pot in our high schools. Let's talk about the slaughtered, beheaded Mexicans in the streets of Juarez if you want to talk about disgusting.
A man who calls himself Alibaba is here for the marijuana harvest season.
God bless you guys. May there be peace on earth.
He casually stops by to share a few joints as Dragonfly tries to convince him the proposed law is a downer for pot lovers.
This beautiful frosty sativa bud I'm holding did not come from a licensed dispensary. Under Prop 19, it would be illegal for me to possess this and to smoke it.
Why would it be illegal again?
Because Prop 19 prohibits possession of cannabis bought anywhere other than a licensed dispensary.
Oh, wow, they're really trying to capitalize on this industry with Prop 19. You guys better vote no.
God, what a shame. So, Dragonfly, you're admitting you bought your marijuana from the black market. So, yeah, that's exactly what we want to make illegal, because your illegal dealer buddies aren't checking kids' IDs. But saying that you couldn't possess and smoke that crystally bud is a flat-out lie. You are a liar. Prop 19 allows you to possess and share 1 ounce of marijuana outside the home, and the only way anyone could tell you bought it illegally is if you open your gaping maw and tell them. Here are some of your options as to what you could answer when the cop says, Miss De La Luz, where did you get that beautiful frosty sativa bud? Let's see. I grew it. My friend gave it to me. I bought it at a Prop 19 store. I have my Prop 215 recommendation and bought it at a dispensary. I have my Prop 215 recommendation and this came from my collective. I don't answer police questions without my attorney present. Or just plain old silence. 7 options you have, aside from saying to the cop, oh yeah, I bought this illegally from my dealer friend. What a ridiculous bit here. And shame on NPR for spreading these lies. Let's hope the rest of their segments are a little more truthful. I also wanted to get a quick shout out here to Jen Alexander from our chat room, who wrote an excellent article about Measure 74. The Portland Mercury, which is one of the news rags out here, put a editorial against Measure 74, which is the measure to put dispensaries in this state. Let me just read their concluding paragraph. This is from journalists, mind you. Our current system in which patients can grow their own shit or have someone trusted to grow for them isn't perfect. The best growers already have a full complement of patients, and with a lesser grower, it's hard to know what you'll be getting. A dispensary measure that was more explicit about testing and regulation would be more likely to win our favor. For now, vote no. Grow their own shit? That's the way you refer to medical marijuana? That's the way you refer to a medicine that has been legal in the state of Oregon for 12 years? You think this is a joke, Portland Mercury? I think the 8 companies, and I counted them, 8 companies on your back page that are doing classified advertising, the only type of advertising that's keeping you in business, like so many of these other papers that have fallen by the wayside, that have become extinct because they're losing advertising revenue, I call on all 8 of the businesses that are advertising in Portland Mercury that have anything to do with marijuana to pull their advertisement. You don't like Measure 74, that's fine. But to call our medicine shit means that you need to suffer the consequences. You don't need any more medical marijuana advertising money coming into the Portland Mercury's coffers. I have had it here with these news organizations that should know better. Portland Mercury, I can understand. But National Public Radio giving a platform to Dragonfly De La Luz, a self-anointed partner party girl who travels the world smoking pot and writing about it in magazines? Give me a break. You might as well have Paris Hilton on talking about ending tax cuts for the wealthy. Or you might as well have Fred Phelps from the God Hates Fags Church to come in and talk about bullying of young kids for being gay. You might as well have Lindsay Lohan come in and talk about personal responsibility. If this is what we're going to get from NPR, my support of NPR has ended today. All right, so I got a little riled up for that one. Thanks for joining us. Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.